I want to thank you for the invite. This is the first time we've used this microphone here, so I hope it sounds okay for you. I'm a guy that likes to ask the congregation questions. If I was to say to you, what are the very first words that ever came out of Jesus' mouth? Does anyone know what they are? I have got to be about my Father's business. Remember that? Remember they went to pay their taxes and he was just a little boy, and after they paid their taxes, they on the road for a couple days. Where's Jesus? They go back, they see him at the synagogue. And he's learning the Word of God. And he called it his Father's business. I got to be about my Father's business. That's what I want to be. I want to be about my Father's business. What were the last words of Jesus? It is finished. He did exactly what the Father wanted him to do. Jesus said to his disciples, I don't do anything unless I hear or see my Father instructing me to do it. That's why when he would go to the Pool of Bethesda, you see all these people laying there waiting for the angel to trouble the water so that they could get in first and get healed, because that's all they had. If we'd be a church, what would we have done? We would have probably set up a tent, nothing wrong with that, and preached to these people that wanted healing for maybe, you know, 3 or 4 weeks and move to the next town. Jesus only had 3.5 years to reach as much of Palestine as possible. So he was listening to that still small voice. So he's walking around people, around this person, around that person, to one man. Why? Because that's the only man that had the faith that when Jesus spoke to him for 5 or 10 minutes, that he would receive a healing. Because Jesus was on a mission. He had work to do. He didn't want to waste time. He only had 3.5 years of ministry. That's how Christ operated. That's how we're supposed to operate. He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And how do you do it? You raise the dead. You heal the sick. And you cast out demons. And you make disciples of the nations. So if we are about the Father's business, how are we doing right now? Have we even reached our neighbors? What have we done for the Lord? Have we even led one person to Christ? Have we asked one person to come to this church? See, as a Christian, we're not going to be judged for heaven or hell. We're going to be judged at the Bema Seat about what we did in this house, in this walking body, walking house. We will be judged for what we did, what we didn't say. The man that led us to the Lord, I'm very thankful for him. He was working kind of for me in a way, and he had the the stamina to tell me that, hey, you're a sinner. You need to be saved. And I thank God for that man. If he did not come into my life, I don't know if we would still be married. Because we were living where every Monday morning I got up to go to work, the devil would remind me, you owe more money today than last Monday. Because of the debt that we had. My wife had bulimia, she had anorexia, and she had a spending problem. I had problems too. We were a mess. Do you know what my weakest attribute is? Getting up in front of people and speaking. So what God asked me to do? Get up in front of people and start speaking. I mean, come on, God. You must have a sense of humor. I would take the day off of school if I knew I had to go up and say something, you know, in front of people. I'd take the day off of school. I'd tell my mama's sick. But God will take your weakest attribute and put strength in it and breathe in it and make you do something that you can't do. I said to God, I says, if you come up here with me, I'll go up here. He said, I won't never leave you. I'll never forsake you. When Jesus comes back to this earth, he's going to be looking for one thing. Do you know what that is? Faith. You cannot please God without faith. And do you know that faith without works is dead? Faith just by itself, standing alone, is completely dead. You've got to add hope to it. You've got to have an image of what you're going to do. You've got to add your works to it. That's the only way that we can reach people out there. We've got to hear the still small voice. I'll take these off so I can read this. So it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. It's in Romans 12:3. It says, all have been given the measure of faith. So some people can say, well, Murray, you and Brenda have more faith than we do because you've done this or done that. No, we've all been given the measure of faith. Everyone in here that is born again Christian has the same amount of faith. It's the same thing as every man or woman in this place has the same amount of muscles in their body, right? But the people that use their muscles are able to go and pick up, you know, a couple hundred pounds and move it around, or run up and down a hill and not get winded because they've exercised their muscles. That's what faith is. You have got to exercise your faith. I have no more faith than anybody else. But the things that I have done, some people say, well, how could you do that? Pastor, when you come back here, I don't think you can hear me. There's a thing in the corner there, that little foam piece in the corner there. If you can bring that back to me, it's right in the back corner of the sound room, a little piece of foam. It's right in the wall there, that foam stick, like a stick. Yeah, there we go. Okay, thank you. Forgot to bring that up here. It says faith in Hebrews 11. It says faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of not seen, of things not seen. It says faith without works is dead because it stands alone. We have the Bible. And we look into it, and it's kind of like a manual or a brochure of the things that we're supposed to do. I liken it to this. If you wanted to buy a pickup truck, okay, you'd go out there and you'd check out probably the big three, Ford, Dodge, Chev. And right now, I think it's the Ford, the payload or what you can pull with is 13,200 pounds. It's a lot of weight. So you check all these things out. And you would order that Ford with the big engine in it, the 9-speed automatic and all that. You would order that. And then when you got it, okay, and if it showed up, you've seen a little tiny 4-cylinder truck with about 150 horsepower, three on the tree. And you'd say, this isn't what I ordered. This isn't what the brochure says, right? So you wouldn't want it. The Bible tells us what we're supposed to do. And I honestly don't see most church people doing what the Bible says to do. I grew up in a house where my mother and my grandmother went to spiritual churches, and we've seen all the evil stuff, reading our mail and telling us all these different things. I seen and heard things walking up the stairs, opening doors. I strummed a guitar one time that I was playing, repairing for Morris Music. And when I strummed it, something came into my house. And I had to renounce it. because of that stringed instrument. I've seen more power in the forces of darkness than when I became a Christian. And I thought, what's wrong with this picture? If Jesus went about doing good, he kept getting a download from the Father as what to do, raise the dead, heal the sick, and cast out demons, do all these things. If we're coming to church, like let's say the Apostle Paul came here today, and he's seen our, you know, any church, and he sat through it, and at the end of it, he walked out, and he would say, so what was that? Well, we had church. Well, yeah, I know you praise the Lord, but that guy that came in with a limp, walked out with a limp. The guy that he's breaking up with his wife, and their marriage is horrible, they walked out the same way. And there was a person three rows back that had an ulcer, a tumor in their stomach. And we never got rid of that. He would say, you didn't have church. That's when church is church. That's what I want to do. Like, I'm into sound systems. I have a sound system in my studio that is phenomenal. I want to tell you about my studio. We lived back in Hamilton. Brenda and I both lived back in Hamilton. And I used to put in sound systems and different things like that. And I had a really good job. And I was 39 years old. And I said, Lord, I want to sell out to you and I want to do anything that you tell me to do. I will do it. Completely sold out. So I went and I sat down on the couch and I was watching the news or something. He said, okay, go in tomorrow and quit your job. I thought, well, that doesn't sound too great. You know, I said, Lord, I'm making over $40,000. I'm 39 years old. I got a company vehicle. I can buy sound equipment at cost price. Life is good. He said, yeah, go in and quit. I'm like, you serious? He said, you want to be sold out. So the next day, I got my beeper. Back then, you just had beepers. You didn't have cell phones. I had my beeper, my gas card, my keys, everything in the one pocket. I went in, and I'm waiting for this time, you know, when I'm supposed to say, going to have a meeting with the boss, I quit. And it wasn't happening. It was kind of like when Abraham was about to put the dagger into his son kind of thing. And it wasn't happening yet. And I found myself, you know, I'm get all my stuff, put it in my vehicle, I'm driving away, and I'm like, okay, God, maybe I'm supposed to call them and make an appointment to come in later this afternoon or tonight and tell them I'm quitting. And I seen a vision, first time I ever seen a vision, and I seen this test pattern that we used to get on our TVs back in the, you know, the 60s and stuff like that. And this big test pattern came on, a real high-pitched sound, and it says, this is only a test, do not adjust your set. And I seen that free and clear. He said, you just passed a test. He said, you gave me your job today. He said, now, so when I take it, it's not going to be a big deal. So about a month later, I go into the office, and I go out, and it's payday. Everybody's paycheck is on the wall except mine. So I asked the guy that had more seniority than I did, I said, so where's my paycheck? He says, if you want your paycheck, you got to go see the boss. So I thought, I think this is the day that the Lord has made, you know. And I don't know if I should be glad in it, you know. So anyways, I went and sat in the desk there in the office. And I sat down and he's starting to talk about he's going to let one person go in the office and one person, a technician on the road, which would be me. And he said, so September the 11th, which is, yeah, September the 11th, will be your last day, I believe it was. And as he said it to me, it just felt like someone took hot oil in the spirit and just poured it over my head, and it just started running down my whole body. I'm sitting back in the chair like, you know, like, who cares? I'm just like, wow, you know, who cares? I just lost my job. I was smiling. He's looking at me like I'm nuts. He says, are you okay? And I said, yeah. I'm fine. He says, well, you got 6 more weeks of work. I know you're going to the Maritimes for 4 weeks, and then you're going to come back and your history. And I'm like, oh, okay. So he's looking at me like, what? I just told this guy, most seniority, he's the union steward, that he's leaving, and he's kind of happy. So anyways, I go out, And this is the thing that got me. This is the first time God really hit me. I go out the back of the shop, and I got my microphones and telephones, all the stuff, and I'm walking out, and I close the door to the shop. This is in Stony Creek, right near Lake Erie, or Lake Ontario. I close the door to the shop. As soon as I took my hand off of it, it was raining. As fast as you turn the light on in here, that's how fast the rain came. I looked up, and there was not a cloud in the sky. And the raindrops looked like jewels. I walked about 3 feet over, and as soon as I touched the door of my van, it stopped as fast as you turned off a light switch. I thought, this is crazy. I opened the door, I got my van, I put the windshield wiper on, I looked up on the roof to see if something maybe was coming from the roof. I said, God, this is I've never seen anything like it. And he says, you can see who's in perfect control. I just rained on you from the closing of one door to the opening of the door. Don't you ever forget that. So I drove to Toronto. My first call was in Toronto. I drove to this school that I was finishing up the PA system in the school. I got one block away from the school. And our vans that we had, they were running gas and propane. They had a big switch in there and turned it from gas to propane. I was one block away. And I noticed smoke just started pouring out of the hood of the van. So I quickly pulled into the parking lot, opened the hood. I noticed that the guy that worked on the van a couple days before forgot to put the air breather, the air cleaner and everything on there. And there's this torch come and go, poof, 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 this huge thing of fire coming up. I'm like, uh-oh, I just got my pink slip and now... And now this fire coming out of my van. This isn't going to look good. So I ran into my van, and I got windshield washer antifreeze that's got alcohol in it. It was the spur of the moment, and I thought it's liquid. It's going to put out the fire. Had about this much in the bottom. I went, and it went. Oh my God, this is crazy. So I went and I actually slumped down onto the grass and watched it. And there's this cleaning lady yelling out the window, do you need a fire extinguisher? Yeah, why not? You know? So I'm sitting there and I said, God, I just got my pink slip. And now I'm in Toronto burning the engine out of their car, out of their van. They are not going to believe this. You need to make it go out. And I said, go out. It went, oh my God, this is crazy. So I walked over to it, and I looked inside, and it cleaned all the grease off of the engine. And all the wires were still there. All the pipes were there. I just put the hood down, drove it for the last 2 weeks, and it was fine. I'm like, God, this is so weird. He said, I know. You're walking in the supernatural now. I'm like, I like it. So we moved to New Brunswick, and we had to find a house. We had two days to find a house. So I'm walking through the mall, and I said, God, you told me we're moving. I need to find a house. And I was kind of down a little bit. And I was in the Sussex Mall, the one at the Gateway Mall, right on this side of town. And I was walking through, and I had my head down. I'm like, God, you got to show me a house. I need to see the house today or tomorrow because we're going the day after that. And I'm walking. If I didn't put my head up, I would have flipped right over top of a kiosk. Guess what was on the kiosk? Picture my house. 1 second after I asked for the house, it was right there. And I looked at it and I said, no, no, that's the house of my dreams. He said, Murray, you sold out to me. Now I'm going to give you the house of your dreams. I said, I don't know how to afford that. And he says, you're selling a house in Hamilton. You know, Hamilton, Toronto, prices. He says, you can get that house. I'm like, oh, okay. I had money left over for the moving van and everything. So we move here, and we're sitting there looking at the snowstorm and everything outside. I'm like, this is great. This is great. Next month, you know, I'm looking for work. I'm thinking, okay, we used up the $1,800 that was in our bank account. We have no money coming in. Everything's cool, you know. And we just got our heating bill, and it was like $750. So I called up the company. I says, you made a mistake with our heating bill. No, we didn't. It's going to be that if we turn up the electric heat. That's what it's going to cost per month here? Yeah. I'm like, okay, turn all the heat down. And so after a couple days, we got a call from the electric company and said, we're going to cut off your hydro. The telephone, we're going to cut off your telephone. And then a finely dressed man came to the door, looked like a lawyer or something, hands me an envelope and said, all three of them, if you don't have money in the bank Sunday night, so Monday morning we can pull it out, we're taking your house, we're shutting off your hydro. Who cares if they take my house, if they shut off the hydro and the telephone? So I'm like, okay, God, I'm sold out to you, and this is what I get. So I was done. I just thought, you know what? I'm done. Walk by faith. I have no money. They're taking my house. They're shutting everything off. I didn't tell Brenda this. I just told her I was going for a walk. And I went for a walk out in the woods. It was like February or something, January, February. It's cold. And I went, we live out in the boonies. I walked out in the woods. And I fell in the snow. And I wanted to die so badly. I begged God to kill me. I literally begged him to kill me. I said, and I'm down in the snow. I said, I'm done. I didn't hear anything. And finally he said, good. Now I can finally work with you because you're done. I'm like, that's the compassion that I'm getting, you know. I'm done. He says, I will give you three things to work with. He said, I'll give you angels to protect you. He says, Murray, you and Brenda should have been dead twice each. Each of you should have been dead about twice now. He said, you know that. You know angels protected you. I said, yes, sir. He said, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit to teach you the word even more so. But the Holy Spirit has also crucified your flesh so that you don't live here anymore. Now, we're always crucifying the flesh, but you got to get to a real point where you literally just sell out and crucify your flesh and just say, I'm done. He said, that's what the Holy Spirit does. The third thing I'm giving you is the Word of God. He says, if you can find something in the Word of God, he says, maybe find one in the Old Testament, two in the New Testament. He says, because you're sold out. If you find those that says that I meet your needs or I do this or that, you can have it. So I went home. I still didn't tell Brenda for quite a while that I was out there wanting to kill myself. But I told her the good things that God told me, right? So I got home and I said, okay, God, what do you want me to do? He says, why don't you go downstairs in your house and build yourself a recording studio? Oh, well, that's a great idea. You know, I have no money and I'll build a recording studio. And I said, why not? I've seen rain come and go, and I've seen this and that, and I've seen a house in 1 second, so I'll build a recording studio. I'll play along, you know, this will be good. So I thought, okay, so I went downstairs, didn't tell Brenda again. That's where this thing here comes in. I went downstairs and went down there, and I said, okay, God, if you can give me, say, about 50 grand, I'll build a recording studio, Christian recording studio. He said, we're not going to do it that way. I said, okay, how are we going to do it? He says, what's the first thing in your basement? Because we had our house was only 4 years old, and the basement was non-touched. It was just concrete shell. He said, what's the first thing that you need to address in your basement? I said, well, all the pipes are sweating and they're dripping onto the ground. He said, so you need some of those foam things, right? I said, yeah, I need some of those foam things. So he said, how much money do you have in your pocket? So I put my hand in my pocket. I had about $1.15. He said, now your wife is going to go into town today to buy some stuff. You buy yourself one of those pieces of foam. I thought, if I tell this story, people are going to think I'm nuts. So I go, and I said to Brenda, I says, I got a little errand to do, and I go across the road. I buy this. I'm standing there at the buggy with Brenda, and I felt like Moses about to part the Red Sea. And that's what the devil said. He says, you look like Moses trying to part the Red Sea with a foamy. He says, you're building a recording studio with a piece of foam. He says, you're a joke. I said, shut up, devil. I'm going for it. It's got to work. I'm going for broke. So I went downstairs when I got home and I put the one up. And then I walked out. So about 3 days later, we go into town. And he says, Murray, how much money do you have today? And I just fixed a guitar for Morris Music, electric guitar. So I gave most of the money to Brenda. And I had a little, I had about $5. I went to the Foamy store. And it was on sale this time. I got like 6 for the price of 5. So I came home and I stuck them on. And, you know, Brenda wasn't asking any questions, so I stuck them on. And I looked back and I seen them. I said, God, I am going to be as old as Methuselah before I do the studio, get it finished. And he said, okay. He said, you can tell Brenda now that you're building a studio. I said, okay. He says, where two or more agree as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done unto them. And he says, you know that you're doing my will, right? I said, I know I'm doing your will. So I go and tell Brenda. So we go downstairs and we draw with a magic marker and a straight edge all the rooms on the floor. And when you build a studio, the rooms that you record in and do the mix in have to sit on a piece of foam, and they cannot be fixed to the house. It's got to be sitting like a baby barn, but not look like that. Sitting on foam, not touching the other thing. It's got to be a room inside of a room that doesn't touch the room with all this insulation. So we're doing all this marking. And then Brenda comes down. She gets a magic marker, and she draws a chair over here and, you know, a table over here and the fireplace over here. And I'm like, wow, she's taking it to a whole new extreme. And the Lord said to me, from now on, when you're down here, walk in and out of the doors and have an image in your head what it's going to look like. So I said, okay. So we agreed that day that we were going to have the money for the studio. The very next morning, the telephone rings. And it was a guy, I married this fella. I didn't marry him, but I mean, I did the wedding, you know. I said to my mother one time, I'm marrying this lady down in Nova Scotia. She says, oh no, what about Brenda? I says, no, I'm doing their wedding. I'm sorry, hon. I'm sorry, Mom. So anyways, we wake up to this phone call, and it's this guy, he does these beautiful paint jobs on motorbikes and stuff like that. He says, Murray, I'm building this beautiful shop, and I need you to help me do drywall. I know you do a lot of finished carpentry, so it's just come on over. So I go over, and at lunchtime, we're sitting there, and this guy, he's really close to the Lord. He looks at me, and he says, so what are you building? I'm like, I'm not going to tell you what I'm building. It's, you know, go to God in secret for this stuff. He said, Murray, I'm going to ask you one last time. What are you building? I said, God told me to build a recording studio. Burp, put a dot on it and went to another subject, right? So at the end of the first day, I go out to my car. I'm getting into it. And he says, hang on. He runs into the house, comes back out with an envelope, hands it to me. And I says, you don't have to pay me every day. Just pay me at the end of the week. He says, oh, that's not your pay. That's for the studio. I'm like, what? So I'm driving down the road. I get to about the third stoplight, and I'm like, I got to tear into this thing and see what's in there. There was a check for $1,910.25 or something in there. It was right on the tithe or something. So I go home. I get to, on the phone with Kent, and I start ordering stuff. And we start putting it in. And it was just miracle after miracle after miracle. It was actually funny. There was times when I was down there. One time, because we had $8,000 come, we had $10,000, we had two times $5,000 came. And it just came. Whenever I was finishing up and I was running out of product, I would always say to God, Father, I thank you for the money up to now. I receive the next portion in Jesus' name. The phone would ring. There was one time I was down there, and I was doing all the drywall. I don't know if you guys ever did a lot of drywall, but when you do a whole floor of drywall, it gets to the point where I just want to put some paint on it so it doesn't look like drywall. And I looked around, and I thought, a bit more mud, a bit more tape, a couple screws, $100. I can finish the drywall and get the primer on it. $100. I need $100, Lord. So I said, Lord, I thank you for the money up to now. I receive $100 right now in Jesus' name. I'd say within a minute, the phone rings. Brenda's talking to a lady upstairs. She comes over. She hangs over the banister. Could you use $100? So we went and got it. Miracle after miracle. Then I was doing a bit of work for Morris Music. So Brenda said to me one time, she says, what do we need to finish the studio so that we can actually do a recording? I can go in there and we can do some tests. I said, well, we need a really nice soundboard. We got the same soundboard as you have. It's just got a few more channels on, Alan and Heath. So I said, I either want this soundboard or that soundboard. She says, well, unless you figure out what you want, God can't bless it and give it to us. Figure out which one you want. So I went online on her computer, and I found out that was the best bang for the buck at the time. At the time, that soundboard was $5,600. The one that we wanted. I didn't have a dime. So Brenda says, well, two or more agree, touching anything they shall ask. Father, we thank you for that soundboard right now in Jesus' name. So I had to work the next day at Morris Music. So I go into work, and guess what I see? I see my boss pushing this huge box across the carpet. As I walk in, he says, Murray, give me a hand with this. It's heavy. So I go over, and we're pushing. I said, what is this thing, Gary? He says, it's an Allen and Heath 32-channel board. I said, why'd you buy such a big board? He says, oh, some church or someone will buy it. And I'm thinking, no, this is my church. This is my church. This is my board. This is my board. So we put it under the stairs, and every time I walked past it, I said, thank you, Lord, for my soundboard. Thank you, Lord, for my soundboard. I come home, and Brenda says, Murray, you might want to see what's on the table. I said, okay. So I walk in. It was a check for $3,725 or something. I'm like, wow, that's good. She says, well, we could probably buy the soundboard. And I'm thinking, I don't know. So the next day I had a holiday from work, and I called my friend up, Gary, there, and I says, what's staff pricing on that board? He says, it's come way down. He said, your staff pricing, and he told me it's $3,000 or whatever it was. And we had already taken the tithe out of it, because any money we got, we took the tithe off first. We took the tithe out, figured out how much money we had. We had enough money to buy the board and about $25 left over. So we've seen this so many times where God shows us what we need, like a vehicle. The next day, we get the finances for it, and the next day it's parked in the driveway or the studio free and clear. My whole life has been like that. See, when we first started out, we bought the first vehicle. We bought a Chevy Astro van and a sound system. We borrowed $15,000. And I gave my vehicle that I had, which was 3 years old, to the man that saved, got us born again. So the Lord said to me, he said, Murray, now that you're doing my work, he said, when you were doing work for ATEL Communications, they gave you a benefit package. They gave you holidays, and they gave you a company car. He said, you sowed the first vehicle and sound system into the ministry. You gave a car to your friend. He says, you're not ever going to borrow money for a car or sound equipment ever in your entire life. The vehicle we're driving now was just given to us a few days ago, free and clear. I've never borrowed. I don't borrow for anything, church. Never. I'm not saying it's wrong. But for me, it's wrong, because he told me not to. He says, the just shall live by faith alone. Only by faith. You could put a gun to my head and say, renounce your faith. I'd say, fire away. You cannot talk me out of the fact that there is a God that loves me. And there's a God that raises the dead. We've seen spirits cast out of people. We've seen people healed immediately in services. We've given words to people, and they've given words to us. We have seen so much on the road, church. God is real. He needs us to go out and be the church. Not just go to church and stay here. We have to go out and be the church. God bless you. I believe Brenda's coming up next. I love you guys. Thanks for having us. But Brenda's going to finish the song.
here, you really don't want to trust me with electronics. I usually break them. But Murray is so right, and it's just so wonderful when you're just totally led by the Spirit. And though you may be prepared to do something when the Holy Spirit moves in, you just step aside and say, have your way. Because Murray and I never discussed who was going to go on first or second or anything like that. But God, that was beautiful, hon. Thank you so. You know, it says in Scripture that you overcome by the word of your testimony, right? And that's what we need to do is, you know, there's a reason why God asked people when they were on the journey from where they were to where they are to build monuments on the way, monuments of memory and remembrance so that you're supposed to go back. And when you're going through hard times, just encourage you this morning. When you're going through a hard time, don't dwell upon that, but go back in your memory. Go back in your memory bank and remember some of the things that the Lord has taken you through. And know that God is not going to leave you in the place where you are, the place of despair, the place of hopeless. He'll never leave you there. But you need to remind yourself, because there's a final destination for us. He says, I have a plan for you. It's for good. It's not for evil, but it's to give you a hope and a future. And he so desires to see his children fulfilling the plans that he has already predestined for us before we were even born, before we took our first breath, before we seen the light of day. I told y'all last night that the light of day seen you. And he has each and every day of your life recorded in his book. He's placed things within you. He's placed talents and abilities within you to share with others. We are supposed to be his vessels here on this earth, pouring into the lives of others that which he has poured into us. We are to be that light. When dear Shannon was talking about there's that Christmas is not a wonderful time for all people. There's people going through things that are hard and they can't even find the joy. They have lost their hope. Get involved in their lives. You be their hope. You be their light. You be their joy. You be their rescuer. You give them what they need. We all have something that we can share with somebody to lift them up and lift them out of their desperation. We all have something. God says, get out there and do it, kids. Get out there and do it. You might say, but I don't have it. Yes, you do. Because if you see somebody that is walking the streets, or if you see somebody in the grocery store, and the Lord impresses something upon you, do it. Just do it. Don't hesitate. Just do it. We can be a gift to somebody this Christmas season. But just as Murray was saying, you know, I'm so glad that the Lord has done in and through us what he's done. And it hasn't always come. It did not come easy. I want you to know that. It did not come easy. Yes, things happened. We would pray. And within days, if not instantly, we received our answer. But did it always happen that way? No, because we went through times of testing, times when we held on to each other, times when we said, Lord, it's up to you to do this. You've got to do this. We're dependent upon you. And God is looking for people that are sold out to him, that he can move in them and live and move and have his being in and through you. He's looking for someone who will sell out totally and completely to him. Someone who will wake up in the morning and say, Lord, what is on your agenda? Because I want to be found doing what you want me to do. Father, I want to stand before you on the final day, Father God, and hear you say, come in, thou faithful servant. Come in, thou good and faithful servant. A job well done. You didn't limit me. You didn't limit me from having my being within you. You took what I gave you and you shared it with others. You didn't keep it to yourself. You come in and you were faithful in Jesus' name. Murray and I truly say, there's no better way to live. There's no better way to live than to be dependent upon God. It's exciting. It is, and sometimes he'll ask you to do things, and when you're seeing it unfold, you're going, there was one time the Lord asked us to bless a family, and I was excited. I was really excited. It was around Christmas. And I remember he told us to just get some, you know, groceries and things like that for them. And so we did. And we packed them all up. We waited until they weren't home. They were really good friends. They are really good friends of ours. We don't talk to them all that much because they're all but we're back in Ontario and we're here. But anyway, we went out and it was great going down the grocery aisles and purchasing things for somebody else and thinking of things and purchasing things that you yourself would have gotten for yourself, but you wanted to bless someone. It was just so wonderful. And then we went to church that Sunday morning. And we scooted on out when everybody's else having fellowship and everything afterwards. And we put the box of groceries by their car. And then we parked off in the distance. Because I wanted to see the joy on their face. I want to see the joy on their face. Something's being dropped in my spirit right now. I wanted to see the joy on their face. God has given you a gift. And he's standing back right now. And he's waiting for you to open it. Because it'll bring him much joy. We all have something within us that he has placed within us from the beginning of time. And some of us have not experienced all that God has planned for us because we've been afraid to open up that gift. I was talking to a dear husband and wife here this morning. They asked, how did you start singing? Where did it all begin? And it began many, many years ago when Marie and I attended a church in Hamilton, Ontario. And we sat in the back pew of the church, and it was a large church. We sat back in the back pew for 5 years, just receiving the things that were being said, and when service was over, we headed for home. But after we were into the fifth year there, and there was a pastor who came up. He was preaching that morning. And he said, this will be my final day. He said he was moving on to another ministry. He said, this will be my final day. And if I could leave one thing with you, he said, get on doing the work of God. Get on doing the work of God. Get on doing the work of God. And Murray and I, that went so deep in our spirit. And we went home that afternoon and we talked about it. We said, how can we get involved in the church and be a part of the building of the body in this church? I don't know why I'm saying all this, but you listen. How can we get involved in the church and make this church be more than it could ever possibly be? We want to add to it. And so we started teaching the three-year-olds. That's a job. Murray and I, we both started teaching the three-year-olds, and it was wonderful. It was a challenge, a large church. A lot of the kids were bus kids, and we loved on them. They would sit on our laps. We'd tell stories, and it was just absolutely wonderful. Some of them came, and they didn't have breakfast, and we had an activity where it was sharing. You brought in a toaster. You brought in one knife. You brought in one jar of peanut butter, and they shared one at a time. It was beautiful. It was beautiful. And the Lord said to me, Brenda, I want the transition between the parents coming and picking up the children and the children going to their parents to be peaceful. I don't want it to be like the other rooms where they run around, oh, mom's here, you know, and I want to be peaceful transition because I want to be peaceful for the parents too. He says, okay, Lord. He says, there's a divider in the room. I want you to divide it. Okay, because it's a large room. Put up the divider. Put the kids all on one side. The Lord said, I want you to sing over them. I want you to turn down the lights. I want you to sing softly over them. And I need you to crowd. And I need you to touch them on the head. A physical touch. He says, because sometimes that with someone, that may be the only loving touch they get till next Sunday. Okay, Lord, I'll do that. I'll do that. So I went around and I was just praying over the kids or singing over the kids. And softly, not loudly, softly. And the parents would come on the other side. Murray was there. And the parents, some of the parents would say, what? Who is singing? And Murray said, oh, that's my wife. And, she should get in the choir. She should get in the choir. And Murray told me, and I says, that ain't going to happen. Adults are cruel. They're judgmental. And I will not get in the choir. Never say no to God, because he always gets his own way. I continued with the children, and the Lord just moved upon me more to get in the choir, and I did. Murray and I worked the tool that God has given us. We are where we are today, one step at a time. You see, God knows what he's doing. And even before we went to church, even before we were Christians, while we were at home, while I was a little girl, a tiny little girl, I had music all around me. Bill Anderson, his music would sing us to sleep because mom and dad had a hi-fi back in those days. And they put records upon records, and nighttime we would just hear country music all night long. And one time, Mom and Dad, they went to tend to the garden at the back. My sister Deb and I, we were supposed to be doing the dishes. I don't like doing dishes. But anyway, we were supposed to be doing dishes. They went to tend to the garden at the back of the house, way, way at the back. My sister and I, we went in the living room. We left the dishes soaking. Went in the living room. My dad built our home. It had a bay window at the front. A bow window. And it had about 6 or 8 panes coming back at you. It was awesome. My sister and I would get the hassets. and we put them in the center of that bow window. We'd stand on those hassocks and we'd put on a record and we started singing. But the neatest thing about a bow window is if you position yourself rightly and correctly, you have an audience. They all look like you, but you have an audience looking back at you. It's just awesome. Well, we got lost in the moment, my sister and I did. We realized, oh, Mom and Dad will be back any minute. So we ran to the kitchen sink and we seen them coming back. They were a distance away. Seen them coming back. So my sister and I, we emptied out the water in the sink. We ran the dishes all upstairs, hid them underneath the bed upstairs. We told my mom and dad this eventually later. Hid them all underneath the bed upstairs. And as the night progressed, we would sneak in, go in the upstairs bathroom, wash them, come back downstairs and put them. Why am I telling you all that? To say to you that God knew way back then what he wanted me to do. And I'm doing it today. I'm doing it today by faith. I can honestly say, Murray and I feel that we are fulfilling the call of God. And there's no better feeling. No better feeling at all. God is truly wonderful. I just encourage you, walk by faith. Walk by faith. It says in Scripture and Revelation, that all creation is crying out for the manifestation of the sons and the daughters of God. God has a purpose for us. I so encourage you, find out what he has anointed you and appointed you and purposefully planted within you, and share with others the gift, the love, the joy, the hope, the peace of God. Don't miss out. He's got such a wonderful life prepared for us. He's got such a wonderful journey ahead of you. You know, Murray was talking about faith, and faith in Hebrews says this, and I want to read it to you. I'm going to read it out of the Amplified Bible. But faith is the substance, the assurance, the title deed, confirmation of things hoped for, divinely guaranteed, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is a confident assurance that something we want is going to happen, and the certainty that what we hope for is waiting for us, even though we can't see it up ahead. That's faith. As Murray said, when he comes back, he's going to look for one thing. Faith. Faith. Do you have faith to believe for the impossible? Do you have the faith it takes to accomplish the things that he so desires? To see us in joy and live here now today. Today you can make a difference in someone's life. Today you can make a difference in somebody's life. I'm going to sing this song and we'll just allow the Holy Spirit just to have his way. In Jesus' name, go ahead, hon, please. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There's a story to be told. In the crashing of the ocean, there's a power that no man could ever hold. stars in the heavens decorate your handiwork, and like a mighty choir, we've come to celebrate your works. Don't let me miss the glory.
Child of God, the Holy One dwells within you. He resides within you. He lives within you. You should feel complimented that He lives within you. He chose you. If you were the only one that was upon the cross, if you were the only one when He was on the cross, and you were the only one standing before Him, He would have given His all for you. It's time we give our all to Him. It's time we surrender totally and completely under the Holy Spirit, knowing He's never going to ask you to do anything that you were not able to do. But when He does ask you to do something, understand beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are well equipped. You can do it too. You can do it. You can experience the life that Murray and I are experiencing. He'll take you to places you never dreamed possible. He will ask you to do things you never thought He could do through you. But if you just trust Him, if you just let Him have His way in Jesus, I guarantee you, you will begin to enjoy life. And life, that life that He came to give us. I came to give you life and life more abundant. Didn't He say that? Didn't He say that? Did He not say that I can do all things through Christ who will strengthen me? I can do all things through Christ who will strengthen me. I can do all things through Christ who will strengthen me. Nothing is impossible to a child of God. You understand that? Nothing is impossible to a child. I'm stirring up that gift within you. In Jesus' name, I want to stir up that gift. That prophetic gift is going to increase even more, sister. More. And you know what? The Lord wants you to know. You're going to go into places you're not even going to speak a word, and people will bow down to their knee, and they'll bow down unto God. Jesus, because it's all over. It's all. You know what? I want to say something to you. I want to say something to y'all. I want to say something to y'all. The enemy, before he tried to usurp the authority of God, do you understand he had a position in heaven? He was the worship leader of all of heaven. But he wanted to sit in the position of God. Do you know that when people looked at him, they knew what his office was? They knew what his calling was? Because when they looked at him, they seen all the instruments on him. They're all over him. Whatever you're anointed for to do, people should see it upon you even before you show them. They should see it. You have been anointed for a purpose, sir. God has a purpose for you. Is. But he's chosen you specifically. Each and every one of you have been chosen by God to do the will of God. He's got a job for you. He's got a gift within you. You may not be doing what you see someone doing up on the platform, but whatever position he puts you in is anointed, and you've been appointed. And you all know this next song. It's How Great Thou Art. And when you sing it, I want you to sing it with me. Just as you're singing it, sing, be that great God within me. Let people see greatness in me. See greatness in me. Go ahead, hon, please. I want people to see greatness in me.
Oh, Lord, my God.
Sing it to him.
When I in awesome wonder consider the worlds thy hands hath made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. You are his display. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. how great thou art, how great thou art. Then through the woods and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. When I look down from lofty mountain grandeur, and I hear the birds, and I feel the gentle breeze sing it unto him, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art, how great thou art.
Jesus, 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 there is greatness in you. You need to know it. There is greatness in you. You need to know it. 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 There is greatness. You need to see yourself the way Jesus sees you. Well able to run the race. Well able to finish the course. Well able, well able, well able. He says, I'll never ask you to do anything that I will not equip you to do. He says, I expect you to run the race. I expect you to cross the finish line. I expect you to break through every barrier. Anything that comes in your way, God says you can break through it in Jesus' name. By faith, you can move that mountain. By faith, you can break through, God says. By faith, you can receive those things that you so long to see in your life. By faith, thanking him in advance, because you know beyond a shadow of a doubt, when your God gives you something, when you ask God for something, he hears you. He hears you. He hears you. Says in Luke, he hears you. He hears you. When you ask God for anything, when you pray, God says, if you really believe that I hear you, if you really believe that I hear you when you pray, you can rest assured I will answer. You need to grab upon those scriptures. You need to grab upon the promises of God. You need to know the word of God. You need to get the word of God in you. And the devil does not want you to get the word of God in you. The devil does not want you to know the truths of God, because the devil himself knows that God says, I watch over my word to perform it. The devil knows that God says, I watch over my word to perform it. We need to give God something to work with in Jesus' name. We need to give him something to work with. We need to speak the word of God. We need to plant the word of God. You see, the word of God is as a seed, and a seed knows to do one thing, and that's to grow. We need to get the word of God in us. God says in the last days, there is going to be a famine in the land, God says. There's going to be a famine in the land, and it's not going to be for milk and honey, God says. It's going to be for the word of God. And there are people out there right now in Jesus' name that are going to the world to get their needs met. They're going to the world, but there's going to come a time, and that time is going to be soon, God says. That time is going to be very, very soon, God says, because now I'm giving you an opportunity, God says, to get in the word of God like never before, God says, because they're going to come a time when those people out there who are going to the world to get their needs met, there's going to come a time, God says, when they are not going to be satisfied. The world is not going to give them. The world is not going to be able to give them what they're needing.
need right now, because there's a vacuum within them that only God can fill. There's a vacuum within them that only God can fill. And you need to equip yourself now in Jesus' name, because God says they're coming. They're coming, God says. There's many out there right now that are looking for a place. Will this place be that place, God says? Will this place be that place? Then God says, I'm giving you a small window right now. I'm giving you a very small window. I'm giving you this information now. You need to get in the Word of God like never before now, because time is short. I'm coming back. You can see the signs of the times. You can see things are happening, God says. And God says, they're coming. They're coming, because they're not going to be able to get satisfied. They're not going to be able to get what they need by going to the world anymore. And God says, I need my army in place. I need my army in place. I need my soldiers. I need my soldiers. I need my soldiers. I need you adorned in my spirit. I need you adorned in my joy. I need you adorned in my peace and my strength. I need you. I need you adorned in my anointing. I need you adorned in the gift that I've given to you. I need people, when they look at you, they'll see, oh, there's something within me that's just drawing them to that person. And you'll be able to give them what it is that they need. God says he's giving you a window right now. Understand, they're going to be knocking on your door. And the time for you to be able to give them what they need is not when they get here, but to have it within you before they get here. Have it within you before they get there. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. The Word of God. Get it in you. It's as a seed. It knows to do one thing, and that's to grow. In Jesus' name. God Himself puts the Word above His very own name. We need to put the Word of God back on the throne of our heart, because Scripture says, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. We need to be full of the Word of God. I'm saying to you, ask God for a hunger, an appetite for the Word of God like you've never had before. I challenge you. Ask God to give you an appetite for the Word of God like you've never had an appetite for it before. It will change you. Trust me, I know. It will change you. We need to put the Word of God back on the throne of our hearts. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You can do great and mighty things, church. We can do great and mighty things. Does he not promise in Scripture? He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you could ever ask for, hope, or dream in. A lot of people stop at that part. But if you want to know what the whole Scripture says, it says this. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you could ever ask for, hope, or dream in, according to the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells within me. According to the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells within me. There's too many of our churches that are operating on two-thirds of the Trinity. They know Him as Father. They know Him as Son. But they do not know Him as the Holy Spirit. The devil likes that. The devil likes that. Because it's only with the power of the Holy Spirit that we'll be able to do the impossible. That we'll be able to move mountains. That we'll be able to make a difference in people's lives. We need to employ the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. He's been sitting dormant in people's lives far
too long, and it's time that we employ the Holy Spirit to do through us the things that we can't. You see, it says in Scripture, let your light so shine before man that others will see the good works God is producing through you, and they'll stand back in awe as to what they see. That's what Scripture says, amplified. It says that let your light so shine before man that they see the good works that God has produced through you, and they will stand back in awe. They'll stand back in awe. Have you ever been in the presence of somebody that's been so anointed you can't even talk? You can't even talk. They're just so enveloped in the Holy Spirit. We need to employ the Holy Spirit to do through us the things that we can't do ourselves. It's time we employ the Holy Spirit. It's time we put the Word of God back on the throne of our hearts in Jesus' name. I know this is not a Christmas message. I know that. But this is the best gift you could ever give God. Totally surrender unto Him. It's not all about us, is it? It's not all about us. Not all about us. It's about us surrendering unto Him and giving Him a gift. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I'm going to do it. Yeah. A lot of us aren't experiencing all that God has for us because you're carrying a burden that you shouldn't be carrying. It says in Scripture, it says, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Continues on, that Scripture says, for my yoke is light, easy to bear. If you're carrying something that's heavy, it's not of God. You all know this song. I cast all my cares upon, it's time we let go, upon you. I lay all of my burdens down at your feet, and any time I don't know what to do, I cast all of my cares upon you. Do you know that song? You know that? Yeah, it's time. You see, we can't do the things of God because we're carrying a heavy load. And the Lord's saying to this morning, let it go. Let it go. Let it go, church. Let it go. Because you'll never be able to run the race as long as you're carrying a heavy load. You'll never be able to fulfill the plans of God as long as you are carrying a heavy load. Maria, I'm going to do it. He will carry you. You know this song. You know it. You know it. Go ahead, hon, please. Thank you. Thank you.
There is no problem too big, your God cannot solve it. There is no mountain too tall, He cannot move it. There is no storm too dark, He cannot calm it. There is no sorrow too deep, He cannot soothe it. If He carried the weight of the world upon His shoulders, I know, my brother, that He will carry you. I will give you rest. calm it. There is no mountain too tall, he cannot move it. There is no storm too dark, your God cannot calm it. There is no sorrow too deep, he cannot soothe it. Listen to this. If he carried the weight of the world upon his shoulders, I know, my brother, that he will carry you. Receive it.
Doing the things that you have called us to do, Father God. We only, Father God, want to, all I'm trying to say, Father, is have your way. Have your way, Father God.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I'll be your clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still, have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I'll be your clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still.
One more time.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I'll be your clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. Lord.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you. Did you pick that up? Did you pick it up? From this day forth, if you let go of these things that are weighing you down, stopping you from doing what God's called you to do, weighing you down from running the race that's set before you, because this from this moment on, I really feel in my heart, God is opening a door. I really feel in my heart, God is opening up a door right now. And it's up to you whether you want to stay on the one side, heavy weighed down by the cares of the world, or whether you want to open it up and walk into the light, walk into the fullness of the light. It's up to you. God is a gentleman. He will never force you to do anything that you will not do yourself. God says, but I've got a new day ahead of you, a new day ahead of you. If you choose from this moment on to lay down all those things that are holding you back, all those things that are weighing you down, stopping you from running the race. God says, if you let go, if you choose to let go of those things now and take a step of faith, take a step of faith this morning, he says, and step into your promised land. You can have an opportunity. You can step, he's saying to me, you can step into your promised land this morning, but it's up to you. It's up to you whether you want to step forward or stay in the place where you are right now. But if you want to experience something new, if you want experiencing something different, if you want to step out of your despair and into his joy, if you want to step out of your poverty and into his provision, then you take the step this morning in Jesus' name. I'm offering this to you, God says. You can stay where you are. You can stay where you are right now if you want. But if you're dissatisfied and you want to take a step into something new, something different, something beyond where you are today, if you want to do what God says, take a step forward in Jesus' name. Take a step in Jesus' name. Take a step in Jesus' name. Say to yourself, you know, if this is you, if this is something you really want to do, God, just say to yourself, it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. It's no longer my way and my way of doing things and my agenda, but it's God. And I choose today to step into my promised land. I choose today to step into my future, the future that God's prepared for me. I choose today to step out of where I am today and into my tomorrow in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Is that you? Is that you? Is that you? Can I ask you to do something that may be risky? If that is you, if that is you, you want to step out of where you are presently today, in the situations you are in today. If that is you, if you know there's something more, even if where you are right now is a good place, but you're going, I even want more, Lord. I want more. This is such a good feeling. This feels so good doing what you've asked me to do, Lord. If that is you and you're saying, but I still want more, Lord God, I'm going to step into my tomorrow. I'm going to step into my future. I'm going to step into my dreams. I'm going to step into the plans that you have for me for my tomorrow. If that is you, I ask you to raise your hand. Plain and simple. If that is you, and you want more, and you want to take that step forward this morning, raise your hand. Raise your hand right now in Jesus' name. I see those hands. I see them. Yes, I see them. Thank you for that. I see them. Come on, there's more. Come on. You're wondering, but I don't know what tomorrow is. Trust me, God's there. Trust me, God's there. God's there. By faith, raise your hand if that is you. I'm not going to force you. I'm going to ask one more time. If that is you, thank you, sir. If that is you, and you keep your hands raised. Keep your hands raised. If that is you, take a step forward in Jesus' name. That's what you want to do. I thank you for that, Father. I thank you for that. Jesus, I thank you. You can put your hands down. I thank you for that. I thank you for that. I thank you for that. God wants you to know that he's taken a firm grip of your hand right now. To those who've raised your hand, God's going to give you a little tug right now. Going to tug you forward right now. But God says you are going to experience things you never thought possible. And for those who really wanted to step out of where they are today into something different, a different way of living, God says, I'm still there. I'm still there. I'll be a gentleman. I've never left you. I will never leave you. But I got a plan for you. You don't know what it is yet, and you're afraid to take a risk because there's been people in your past that have put you down and said you'll never amount to anything. Trust me. I've had people say that to me. Yep, me. You'll never amount to anything. You'll never be able to do that. And I pray the Holy Spirit speak to your heart and encourage you. There is more for you. There's more for us all. For those who raised your hand, God says, come forward. Yep, I'm going to do it. I'm just going to do it. For those who raised your hand, I ask you in Jesus' name, take a step of faith right now. Come to this altar. Let me pray for you. Let me release you into the fullness of God. If that is you, please come forward. Those who raised your hand, now, in Jesus' name. Jesus, I'm not going to prolong this. I'm not going to prolong it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you. Thank you for your obedience. God rewards obedience. God rewards obedience. Thank you. Those who wanted to raise their hand but were afraid to, I invite you to come forward. You're with a whole bunch of folk here that are with you. Oh, I can't tell you. I knew today was going to be an amazing day. All I'm going to do is just release you in Jesus' name. As Pastor Ron just leads in worship, I'm just going to go around. Dear Shannon, honey, if you wouldn't mind just coming up, and because you need the agreement of your pastors releasing you into the office God has for you. I want you to envision yourself as you've already went into the Holy of Holies. You went beyond the veil today. And God is standing there right now. And when we lay our hands on you, I want you to envision as God Himself is putting His hand upon you in Jesus' name, the anointing of God, and releasing you into your office. That's all we're going to do, is release you into your office in Jesus' name. Pastor Ron, thank you.